Let's pray. Father, as we think about Caleb and Joshua this morning, please show us how their example may impact on our lives today. Amen. Now, many years ago, when I was a Sunday school teacher, I taught the children the action song, 12 Men Went to Spy on Canaan. I don't know whether any of you know that song, but it starts, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. That's the only bit of actions you're going to get from me. It then asks the question, what did they see when they spied on Canaan? 10 were bad, 2 were good. And then it continues with the answers. Some saw giants strong and tall, some saw grapes in clusters fall. And the finale goes, 2 saw God was in it all. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Now the children were much, much better than I was, much better coordinated with the actions than I ever was, but not so good with the words. And they invariably sang, instead of some saw grapes in clusters fall, some saw grapes in custard fall. And I'm not sure what the actions were for that. But the story behind the song is, of course, based on our reading this morning in Numbers 13. The Lord has led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, right by the borders of the Promised Land. The next step should be to move into Canaan and in God's strength take hold of his promise. But there's a delay. In verses 1 and 2 we read, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each tribe, send one of its leaders. Why did this happen? Well, we get the answer in the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses had said to the children of Israel, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord has told you. But then they came to Moses and said, let's send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report. So God organized this spy mission, not as a command from him, but as a concession to their wavering trust. And it's a sad state of affairs, something, and it's soon going to get a lot worse. The party is sent out for 40 days. They investigated the land and the opposition that they would face. They reported that the land did indeed flow with milk and honey. They brought back grapes, pomegranates, and figs to show how fertile the land was. But they also reported that the towns were fortified. The people who lived in the land were strong and very large, giants, in fact, if we look at verse 33. Overall, it was a very negative report from the majority. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses reminds us, you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The sin of the ten was to elevate their own understanding of the situation above the word of God. 10 were bad. But Caleb and Joshua had produced a minority report, and we read in verse 30, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. 2 were good. Now, this wasn't because they'd successfully completed an online course on positive thinking. It was because they were holding to the word of God. While the others rebelled against God, they stood in faith. Two saw God was in it all. Joshua and Caleb had been slaves in Egypt, but God had set them free. The same had been true for all those who rebelled. How could all those people who'd had the same experience of the Lord, freeing them from the Egyptians, taking them through the Red Sea, how could they see things so differently from Caleb and Joshua? So differently that by the time we get to chapter 14, just over the page, they're saying, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. And the whole community talked about stoning Caleb and Joshua. Maybe they thought that they would just comfortably walk into the land of milk and honey with no opposition, and it would be easy for them. At the first signs of obstacles, they just wanted to give up. Now, you'll probably remember Konrad Adenauer. He was the first Chancellor of Germany after the Second World War. And he once said, we all live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon. There's a challenge here for each one of us. If we all live under God's grace, God's truth, God's love, and God's promise, then where is our horizon? Do we want to chuck in the towel when we first come across obstacles? Or do we persevere in faith and by the strength of the Lord? Now, we're in different circumstances than Caleb and Joshua, and we don't go to a man like Moses who has received God's word directly. In fact, we have more light than Caleb and Joshua because we have God's word fully revealed in Scripture. But like Caleb and Joshua, we need to be true to God's word and to live by it. Now, of course, we can only do that if we know what it is, by careful reading and study of the Bible. And that means all of it, not just the easy bits or cherry-picking the bits that we like. We've been freed from the slavery of sin by the death and resurrection of Jesus, freed to be led by God's word, which is mediated to us through his Spirit. Now, in the obstacles we meet and the giants we face are not the same as Caleb and Joshua faced, but we will face obstacles. Christians are called to be salt and light in the world. In today's world, this can mean speaking God's truth in a way that is counter-culture. Christians in most Western countries still have the freedom to go to church, but within society, they have increasingly less freedom to be salt and light. Last month, the UK was ranked as one of the top 5 countries in Europe where Christians experience the most violations to their religious freedom. The report stated it is primarily secular intolerance, a radical form of secularism that tries to relegate Christian belief to the private sphere only, so it does not have any public space or voice. Self-censorship is also a growing concern, particularly within the UK. We see plenty of instances of this in our society today. I'm just going to give 3 examples now. First, the general example, Christian teenagers needing to go against the moral, ethical flow of high school culture. I don't know how we really appreciate the difficulties it can be to be a Christian teenager at school today, and I think our teens in this church need to be prayed for. Second example, which happened over the last 2 years, was a Christian student midwife at Nottingham who was thrown off her university course as a midwife. It was training to be a midwife. She was thrown off the course because she's pro-life. Now, she was reinstated eventually, but after a lot of distress caused to her. She was reinstated after intervention from the charity ADF International. And then the third example, one I think you're probably well aware of because it had such a lot of publicity, was the baker who would not bake a cake with a slogan which was inconsistent with his Christian beliefs and was dragged through the courts for 4.5 years before he was exonerated. The state spent £250,000 of public money prosecuting Asher's bakery. The defence costs were £200,000. A small bakery like that would not have been able to pay those sort of legal costs. But the charity Christian Institute stepped in and provided legal support. Now, I think organisations such as Christian Institute, ADF International, and Christian Concern stand in the gap to support Christians being salt and light in their day-to-day lives. It's good for us to support them by being informed ourselves, through prayer, and if we can, by financial support. In his commentary on Joshua, Dale Ralph Davis says, "Caleb's devotion of faith required courage, a willingness to stand alone, to go against the grain. The devotion of faith led to isolation of faith." But if we were to fast forward 45 years and jump to Joshua chapter 14, we would know that Moses is now dead. The new leader of the Israelites is Joshua, who has finally led them to take the promised land. Of the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb were kept alive by God to be part of this event. And now, 85 years old, Caleb still has the same faith, the same trust in God's word as when he had first spied out the land so long ago. And in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 14, we read, "Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance." What an encouragement to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. At the age of 85, Caleb was able to say to Joshua, "Here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." Now, I don't want to appear discourteous here, but I would say, looking around, that many of us here are no longer spring chickens. And I don't think that many of us could say, as Caleb had, that we are just as strong and vigorous as we were 45 years ago. Now, if you are still a spring chicken, then store this next bit in your memory bank until the time when it becomes relevant, because it will. Most of us, as we grow older, well, we're not able to do the things that we could do in our youth. Not all the things. It's a long time since I was picked for a football team. In fact, about over the age of 35, I've never played football for a team again. And now, I can't even kick a football without falling over. But we can all take heart from Psalm 92, which says of the righteous, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. We may not be blessed with Caleb's physical strength in our later years, but our faith and witness will remain undiminished if we abide in God's love and live by his word, and he will be our rock. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that as we grow older, we are still able to praise you, and strengthened by your indwelling spirit, we're still able to bear fruit. Help us to know your word, to live and to stand by your truth, even in the face of opposition. And thank you, Lord, for those Christian organizations who stand in the gap as advocates for those who live by your word. Please bless the work that they do. Amen.